Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Sitting across from me is Karen McClellan. And I think if you folks have noticed, since Karen became co-host, we're suddenly doing a whole lot of shows on education, including today's show, because that's where your contacts are really in education. You've been the longest serving school board member in Sedona Oak Creek district.
22 years now.
22 years. So she, you know, so if we suddenly take an educational turn, it's because of Karen. Every new co-host, every new guest host brings a whole lot of new contacts and new interests and stuff. And so a lot of the shows have reflected Karen's interest in school and school boards and superintendents. And can you introduce today's guest for us, Karen?
Yeah, so today we're going to be talking to Devin Del Palacio, who was given the job as the executive director of the Arizona School Boards Association. Devin's been a school board member down in Phoenix. He's worked for a whole series of different nonprofits, you know, around the Phoenix area. He also served, filled out the end of a legislative term a few years ago for a legislature who left during his term. So he's got a little bit of the background in nonprofits, as school board member, as, you know, with the connections in the legislature, and then he's worked for the School Board Association for a couple of years, working on advocacy and working on how to, you know, talk to the legislators, how to get everybody on the same page, and a bunch of different things. So we thought we could talk to Devin a little bit about education and just some other sort of general political ideas. So maybe, Devin, you can start out by just telling us a little bit about yourself and what got you involved in this sort of education advocacy and the political advocacy as a career.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. And, you know, we should give kudos to Karen. Kudos to you, and everyone should applaud you for your commitment to board service. I mean, that's tremendous. As I know, you're not in it for the huge salary that's involved.
Oh, so, yeah, no.
yeah, the salary.
And by the way, for those who don't know, school board members are unpaid, folks.
Yeah,
if you don't
zero.
Know, they are unpaid elected officials who work hard to ensure that our kids can reach their full potential. So I wanted to acknowledge you and your service. So a little bit about me. Born and raised here in the Valley. Well, in Phoenix, to be more specific. And been here all my life. And I got involved because I have skin in the game. I got involved when I found out I was going to be a father. And I sat back and asked myself, what am I going to do to ensure that my daughter is going to attend and receive a highly equitable quality education? And at the time, I didn't have an answer. So I did like any other person would do and hopped on Google and just looked up how to volunteer. And I started volunteering in my neighborhood and in my community and at my school. I started getting involved with local grassroots organizing, community organizing around issues of civic engagement and immigration reform. And then I, you know, started to do more work into school board governance, education policy. Next thing you know, I'm running for school board. And so I've been a board member myself in a Talta Union High School District for 8 years now, going on 9 years. I was recently just reelected. And in that time, I've had the opportunity to serve on the Arizona School Board Association Board of Directors for 4.5 years. I've served at the National School Board Association level for 3 years. Education policy, governance, advocacy has been my life. And now I have this opportunity to lead the Arizona School Board Association. And really our goal there is to empower school board members, equip them with the best information possible so that way they can make the best decisions on behalf of their students. And so that's really what it's all about. That's a little bit of me in a nutshell.
Tell us a little bit more about the School Board Association that you've been recently elected president of.
Appointed,
right,
yeah.
Karen? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, executive director.
Executive director.
Yeah. So the Arizona School Board Association is a nonprofit. Okay, it's a statewide nonprofit, and again, our mission is to equip and to train and to deliver high quality professional development to school board leaders, education leaders across the state. So that way they can make better decisions on behalf of our 1 million students that we all serve. There are just over 233 public school districts. All of them have governing boards, okay? All of them are governed by school board members, just like Karen and myself. Some boards have 5, some boards have 3 members, but these boards, they're the ones responsible for the policy decisions, the budget, sometimes the hiring and firing of a superintendent, the opening and closing of schools. They're responsible for setting the mission and the vision of their district, okay? And then their superintendent, they're the ones who are supposed to implement all that. So that day-to-day on the ground. So, again, our association is here to equip these education leaders with the best knowledge, the latest on state legislation and policy, so that way they can then govern effectively. You see, if we have healthy school boards, then we're going to have healthy communities. If we have healthy communities, well, we're going to have thriving neighborhoods. And if we have thriving neighborhoods, then, well, I think we're going to have a thriving Arizona.
Yeah, because
school boards. What we do at the Arizona School Board Association is extremely important.
Yeah, because then obviously all the political things now, the school boards are the people who are making the ultimate decisions on the curriculum. You know, they are by choosing the superintendent, directing sort of the, at a one remove, the hiring of everyone else. But, those are the issues on building new schools, closing schools as, And implementing the things that come from the state. We have, as school board members, there's some things we have the power to do. Within the state standards, we have the power to choose curriculum. We don't have, complete power. There are a lot of state regulations to work with. So if for new school board members who are all volunteers and who have varying degrees of knowledge already about schools, the School Board Association is really there to, main thing is to give people, by conferences, by training, give them the tools that they need so you can represent your own community, because obviously it's an organization's really big on local control, because we all know Arizona is very diverse, rural reservations, cities, suburbs.
It's amazing amount of work that you folks do for no compensation at all. I know that if you're on the city council in Sedona, it's not much money, but it's $400 or $500 a month that pays for it. And you guys work a tremendous number of hours, and now you want to work more, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with us, really.
You're sort of strange individuals, but it's good.
Yeah, and the one thing that Devin's been doing the last couple of years when he was an employee of the School Board Association, as well as being on his local school board, has been working with advocacy. We have people that we have a lobbyist who works directly with legislators on developing legislation and working. Then we've got Devin, who's tried to work more with the board members and reminding people how important it is to get involved, to be aware of what the legislature is doing, and to, go down and talk to your legislators, not be afraid of them. And Devin had the chance to fill out the end of a term from someone who left. So he's had a chance to work inside and outside. So maybe you can just talk a little bit about how important it is and how it is really possible for anybody to go down to the legislature and talk about anything, and why we need to do that, whether it's school boards or whether it's roads or whether it's short-term rentals or the health of the forest or all the different things that, we look at across Arizona.
Yeah, you know what, Karen, you brought up a great point. Listen here, our government is only as strong as our least engaged person. People need to remember that legislature belongs to the people. That's the people's house down there. So we ought to be involved. You ought to know who your representatives are. You put them there. These folks, the folks down there, work for you. Now, here's one thing that I've often heard from my colleagues when I was at the legislature, and even when I was out of it, folks aren't coming down here and speaking up, so it must not be an issue. That's what they would say. So I always, if you're not out there telling your story, if you're not out there engaging with the folks who are making decisions that on behalf of all of us, then we're missing out. We're missing out, and we're doing an injustice, an inservice to our communities that we live in. We have to participate. This is a participatory democracy. And so engaging with your elected officials at all levels is critical to, you know, amassing any amount of change or impact. And here's the deal. If we're not going down there and talking about the importance of education and funding and transportation for our students and nutrition, et cetera, whatever the issue is, there are other folks who might disagree with you on some of these issues, and they're going down there and sharing their story and their talking points. So if they're the only, you know, message that's out there, if that's the only narrative that's out there, sometimes the folks that are making decisions can just roll with that one narrative. So, you know, really, you know, school board members, education supporters ought to get involved. Parents ought to get involved. And I understand it's difficult and it's hard. And if you don't understand the process, it can be a bit intimidating. But there's a lot of great organizations out there that will help you figure it out. And the good news is you don't even have to go down there in person. They have it, you know, set up to where you can, you know, use a request to speak system, which is completely online, right? And you can still participate. And so I always say people who, you know, who don't think politics impacts their life, you know, that's the biggest lie ever told. Everything is political. From your trash not getting thrown out or picked up on a Thursday or Wednesday, to the school that your child goes to or your neighbor's kid goes to, you know, to I mean, everything is political. So you have to get involved.
Yeah, no, and you spent some time down there, I said, both inside and outside, and you seem to have been able to form relationships with all kinds of legislators and organizations sort of on both sides of all the issues. So how do you get, you know, that chance to sit down and talk and make, you know, have substantive conversations with people who you don't share a lot of political views with? How have you been able to sort of make those connections?
Well, the first step, the first strategy is to not view them, to not demonize them. You know, I don't assume negative intent. When I go into meetings with folks that I know probably may not agree with me on every issue, I don't assume negative intent. I assume that they do care about every Arizonan, that they do want to see our kids reach their full potential. And so I try to find those common ground areas where we can connect on first, on a human level. And that opens the door, and that allows for conversation. You know, we talk about families. We talk about how we grew up. I mean, you start at the basic level of humanity, and you'll be surprised at how far you can get with some of these folks, okay? Now, if you go in there, fully, arms up and, you know, expecting a fight, oh, you're going to get a fight. And then you're also not going to get anything done. So you have to be able to connect on a, you know, on a basic humanity level. And it sounds so simple, but not everyone can do it.
I think that's the bottom line. Not everybody can do it. To be able to reach across to people who really disagree with you. Can you learn it, though? Assuming that somebody's not good at it, can learning to connect to people with that you disagree with or don't seem to have much in common, can you learn to do that? Is there training available? I don't know.
Yes, I think you can. I think every person can learn to be an advocate. Every person can learn how to develop meaningful relationships. That's one thing we do at the School Board Association. And when I was, you know, overseeing the advocacy efforts, that would be my job, is to take these school board members who maybe don't have experience in developing relationships. Because as Karen said, school board members, elected officials, come from all different walks of life, different types of backgrounds. So they come to us sometimes raw, and then we give them the strategies. We give them the talking. You know, not necessarily talking points, but we train them on how to authentically communicate. Because if you can do that, you'll be surprised how far you can get with folks who, you know, might not agree with you on certain things. And so, you know, my thought on this is there are a lot of folks who I call adults. There are a lot of adults who do want to get stuff done. But the fact is we live in a time in which it's so polarized that even the adults who want to get stuff done in the middle and come together and find common ground, they get beat up by their own parties. So, you know, the greater question is, how do we speak on issues that we know should be nonpartisan, like education?
Yeah, most
education.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Everybody agrees. You know, we all. You know, you can start. Everybody agrees that to be educated. You know, and it used to be. It used to be that everybody agreed that public education was the way to go, and that's been changing, which makes conversations more difficult than they used to be. But even within that, you know, there are very conservative legislators down there who we might not agree with on some issues, but I found career and technology education. You know, is something that people all agree on. That you know, when you talk about training students and educating students for things that don't require college degrees, everybody sort of agrees that that's something schools should do. So that's often one point of common ground that you can sit down and talk about educating, you know, giving students a chance to learn the basics of the trades, to learn the basics of computers, to learn the basics of medical careers that don't require 4 years of college.
And financial literacy is another one.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a big one.
Financial literacy is another one that I've been able to, you know, collaborate with folks who you might not think would collaborate on anything education. So I think if we're extremely and purposely nonpartisan, we can get good things done for kids and for all kids, right? Because no kids learn differently. Not all kids are the same, right? And so there might be some things that we don't agree with that make sense for other kids. There might be some things that they don't agree with that make sense for a majority of the kids. But at the end of the day, we have to say, hey, this isn't about, you know, the left or the right. This is truly about, can our kids read at a third grade level? Can our kids do mathematics? You know, are kids getting an enrichment experience, and are they leaving our schools prepared to go on to the real world and be successful adults? And if we spend so much time arguing about the most pettiest of issues, the only people that are losing out are the students. And that's what I remind them of. You know, while we're sitting here spinning our wheels on petty stuff, the only people who are losing are the little ones. And if we can't get it right with our kids, then what are we doing? It's hard to have a discussion on workforce development and the justice system and so on and so forth when we're not getting it right with our kids. We have to start. It all starts with our children and delivering a high quality education.
Yeah, that's
any great society that's ever existed invests in the future of that society, and that's with our kids.
Yeah, it's that educated students that come out of high school with learning how to think, learning how to solve problems, and having skills that either direct them towards a post secondary career of some kind, or direct them with the skills to go to college, junior college, professional development and things, and that's the basics. And sometimes people lose sight of that in arguing over exactly how history should be taught, or exactly what textbook should be used, or whether your school district should teach comprehensive sex education, in these sort of fringe ideas. We forget the core that we all agree on.
Yeah. Forget the core that we agree on, and that's the starting point. You know, I was in Washington D.C. earlier this year, and I was there with a few folks who were international representatives, and there was a representative from Japan who said, you know, you Americans are silly in that, you know, while you're over there arguing about who can use the bathroom, we're training our kids how to develop high-speed rail. We're training them on AI. We're making sure and excelling in math and reading. And I mean, and there was nothing I could say. I said, well, you're not wrong.
Here.
Yeah. All the headlines. We're having these petty arguments while other countries are surpassing us and empowering their children to, you know, to reach their full potential.
Yeah.
How is Arizona doing with technical education, preparing people for further education in
22nd century?
Yeah. And
forget the 21st. Yeah.
Not even the high end, a simple technology that they can make a living in. How are the schools doing, or can you generalize?
Well, I'm going to generalize based off the pandemic. If you just look at what came out of the pandemic and the light that highlighted the many inequities that exist in our state, just look at the technology gap. Look how many areas and students didn't have access to Wi-Fi. Didn't even have access to a device in the year 2020, 2021, 2022. So that really was a gut puncher in that here we are. We've been a time in which you have more computing power that fits in your hand, which sent, you know, astronauts to the moon back in 69, right in the palm of your hand. But yet there are some areas in Arizona in which kids don't have access to the internet, kids don't have access to a device. So how can one properly prepare kids for the jobs of 2030 that we don't even know are going to exist if we're still playing catch-up with these kids' basics when it comes to technology? So there are huge disparities. In some areas, kids are excelling, and they're teaching kids how to, you know, be query engineers with AI. But then in the majority of Arizona, rural Arizona, and other places, these kids are barely getting the basics. And so we know these inequities exist. So when you ask, are we doing our best to prepare it, or where are we in terms of our tech preparedness, I got to tell you, based off what I've experienced firsthand, we're not there. We're just not there. And that's what's scary.
Yeah, because we've got, we all know that in Arizona, we've got phenomenal teachers. We've got, great. But that, is the one thing the pandemic really showed, and it showed it to everybody. It was that these issues of the difference between rural Arizona and metropolitan Arizona, the difference between rich people and poor people, was not just some philosophical discussion to have, but it had actual real world effects. And I think there's been a lot of things that showed up, a lot of things that have been done at different levels. I keep telling school board members to get involved with your county supervisors, because county supervisors have money to improve broadband within the county. It's not something a school district or a city can do by themselves, but the whole county together, and the United people, that they need to get involved at all these areas of government, because it's different areas, different levels of government can fix different problems.
Let me ask you both: has there been you were talking about reform, and has there been reform? Did we learn anything from the pandemic? Have we gotten technical education, the potential to learn it? Have we got it more general and to all the students, or are we still have a big gap?
Yeah, you know what? The gap is still there. It's still there. While there was a lot of money infused into our education systems, and a lot of schools were able to buy technology, but the problem is the aging infrastructure. There's no infrastructure to allow for high-speed data and all this to allow rural Arizona students to thrive. Now, I know President Biden has worked on this, right, with the latest big infrastructure packages that have gone through, and it's going to take some time to build out that network, if you will. So we will get there eventually, but the fact is, to your question, what did we take away from this pandemic? What came out of it? A lot of what came out of it remains the same.
But we've at least, people are more aware of it. We've raised the level of discussion, so at least we're getting people getting together to look at these issues that wasn't the way a decade ago.
And
so
it's an understandable issue once you get it out, I think, mm-hmm. And you don't have to be super political about it. If some kids just don't have the computers and technology and their schools don't, it's pretty clear what that means. Then they're just not going to be able to learn stuff.
They're not going to be able to. Right. While other students might be excelling because they have all the resources, these students might be starting from behind. And it's not, and I want to make things, we all agree, and I want to make sure this is clear, it's not the student's fault. It's not that they're not intelligent enough. They just don't have the same access to resources in order for them to, fully reach their best potential, right? And that's what we're talking about here. I mean, our kids are really bright. I mean, you got to think about it. I mean, my 4-year-old daughter can operate my smartphone and unlock it. I'm sure you all have, little ones that can get around technology and are great with it. But if they don't have access to these tools, which are non-negotiable as we move into the future, then they're kind of starting from behind a little bit. So we got to do, our best. And I think Karen brought up a good point earlier, especially with local, this is where local elections matters the most. A lot of time, during a pandemic, a lot of this money was distributed by local municipalities or counties, so on and so forth. So if you're a school board member, you have to have those relationships with some of these officials to ensure that your district is a part of these conversations and they're not getting left out. So local elections is really where a lot of the work happens. I understand people get excited for the presidential election and, they only vote for the president or the governor and they don't really vote down the ballot. Always tell folks, vote down the ballot. Because it's those other offices that you're going to feel an immediate impact tomorrow. So those local elections are critical.
Yeah, we've seen things when across the state on school board elections where in a variety of different districts, you know, some rural, some urban, all kinds of different districts, where two or three very people running on a very narrow sort of ideological bent win and change the direction of your school district, create, you know, create real issues, and sometimes they won because no one was paying attention. So yeah,
nobody's looking at the lower part of the ballot.
Yeah, so
that's really
to,
a
yeah,
problem. It's been a problem for 20 years or more here, and I don't know the solution to it, but we try to encourage people to look down the ballot, even vote from the bottom to the top, because we had a there's a huge drop off after the
president, Senate.
Yeah, the exciting offices. there's a huge drop off, and so people don't even vote for school board members when there's even when there's an intense confrontation or disagreement about which direction the school should take.
And the thing that sort of is really depressing is when you look at school board races, fire board races, sometimes smaller municipal races, is that people run unopposed.
Right.
No, people don't get out, and you know, not because they necessarily agree with what that level of government was doing, but they don't understand that a lot of these things, it doesn't cost a lot of money, it's not difficult, and there's dozens of organizations that will train you to run for whatever it is. Will provide you with information, you know, sometimes with money, but they'll provide you with training on how to make a speech, you know, how to knock on somebody's door and say, "Hi, I'm Joe, I'm running for such," you know, and you know, that there's all kinds of support for people who want to run for school boards, for city councils, for fire boards, for water boards, for whatever it might be, and you know that the people are out there to help, and there's a handful of organizations who specialize in training people for
but
those.
But people don't know that.
People don't know.
They really don't know it, and they. And they think if I run, I know they're just sitting there thinking if I run, I'm all by myself. I'm all by myself. And what am I going to do? And I don't know how to do this. And I don't know how to do that. And I've never done this. And they sit there and they don't run. And so we lose a lot of people who would really be good on things. And you'll end up with people who don't believe in a strong fire department. I mean, it's terrible to say, but there are people out there who's going to cut the fire department budget down, so they'll lose the ability to do as much with fires. So it is important to be involved, and it's practical. I guess it's in a sense it's not sexy and stuff, you know, like presidential and senatorial races, and it's not big issues. It's usually smaller issues, except that. Even a school board district like Sedona could have people show up who really have a extreme ideological interest in education and not educating kids in certain things.
We've seen that in neighboring districts around our county where, you know, those issues weren't there before. You know, districts that for decades have had generally communities united together to support their public schools, support the teachers, suddenly things are fractured because one or two people ran for the school board with a very specific agenda that wasn't necessarily what the other members wanted or the community wanted. And you know, people, you just assume, oh, it was good 10 years ago. Now you got to think what's going on today. And a lot of people run for local office based on national issues, not local issues, you know, which is an ongoing issue, which is why everybody needs to think about that. And if if somebody knocks on your door next year and says, "Hi, I'm running for school board," stop and talk to them. Ask them why, support them, give them a hand. If you tell your friends, "Hey, I just met Joe. He's running for school board or he's running for city council. We really need to go support Joe." Yeah. And we need, that's something we don't always do. That we all know word of mouth is the best way to get elected to small local offices.
We didn't see it happen with school board, but here in Sedona we had city council.
It was very contentious.
We had a vast amount of money. We had one candidate come in, basically moved here recently, and had tens of thousands of dollars, a lot of them local people, but a lot of them also even
national.
Out of state. So if you don't get involved, it leaves a gap, folks, and other people will.
And you can see if you listen, like Devin, you said you got involved by just volunteering. You went and volunteered, and then presumably somewhere along the way somebody said, "Devin, you're a great volunteer. Why don't you run for school board?"
That, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what happened. I again, you know, growing up, I grew up very poor, and my family didn't have many conversations and with regard to politics around the kitchen table. So it's not like I grew up with the knowledge of what all this really means. But as I mentioned, when I found out I was going to become a parent, I wanted to ensure that I was engaged to somewhat of a level, because I wasn't happy with, you know, the status of quality of the schools in, you know, in my neighborhood. So, yeah, volunteered, and I fell in love with it. I fell in love with it so much I left my nice little cushy job that I had, and I committed to full-time being a community organizer. And that's where it all started for me, from community organizing to education campaigns, you know, to school board races, you know, to legislative races, and, you know, have an opportunity, as you mentioned, to fill out, you know, a remainder of a term from a the Democratic representative who had stepped down. And so you'll be surprised by the experiences you'll get from just volunteering, whether it's making phone calls, canvassing, or helping to collect signatures. I mean, just bringing food, dropping off water, you'll be surprised. So I encourage everyone at some level to get involved.
Yeah, and there's so many ways to do that. When it comes down to the schools, there isn't a school in Arizona that isn't desperate for community volunteers, for parent volunteers. You know, there's so many things, you know, that they want the community to come in and help with. And like I said, you can come in and be a class mom baking cookies, up to somebody with a real skill that wants to come to a high school and share your job skills with the kids. You know, let them, give them an internship in your company. You know, all kinds of levels of things. And there isn't a school in Arizona that's not desperate to have those people come in and share their skills and their knowledge with the kids. You know, just for a lot of the kids and things, it's just having more adults in their life that they can see are successful. You know, because lots of kids, unfortunately, don't see that among their own families and their own communities. So just to have people come in and, you know, spend a few hours in the classroom talking about what they've done with their life is a huge difference for some child who might not, you know, you don't even realize who you're touching when you talk about those, you know, about positive things about life. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. All it takes is one caring adult to make a difference in a child's life. And so I don't care if you do that by showing up to volunteer or by voting at the polls. Just get involved. If not for you, for the sake of the future of this community and our state.
And you get something out of it in terms of satisfaction of, I mean, people forget that doing good often feels good.
Yeah.
Feels good. You know, when you help somebody, it feels good. When you help a school system and you help kids learn, I mean, it feels good because you've actually done something that is genuinely helpful to society on whatever level.
Yeah, and anybody that gets involved, you know, at these levels realizes that, you know, all these people complain about the future being black, you know, is just spend some time with groups of kids involved in some project, and you realize, no, these are an awful lot of young people of all ages, and particularly the kids in the high schools around Arizona, who are thinking about all these big issues that we're thinking about as adults. And, you know, they're unaware of these. They're working on that. They're trying to make the world a better place. And so spending some time with young people on these things is a great way to counteract the sort of feeling that people have, particularly those of us retired people who say, gee, I'm arguing and protesting about the same problem today I protested in 1960. Mm-hmm. But if you get involved with young people and realize that, you know, those idealistic young people that want to change the world, that some of us knew in the 60s and 70s, they're still, you know, they're the same kids we've got today that got that same ideal to go out and do something. Is, you know, as long as somebody gives them the encouragement to let them know that, you know, one person can make a change. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And
go ahead.
Even pursuing a successful career is a positive contribution to society. If you get a job, and even if you're just focused on your career, if you do your career well and it's a useful thing that you're doing, I mean, you're really contributing to society. You don't have to do the really idealistic stuff.
We don't have to be Greta Thunberg and change the world at 13, you know.
Yeah, we really need you to do that. But,
we
don't have to do that. You can just pursue your own goals honestly and compassionately. And you can make choices. You can decide not to stab somebody in the back to get ahead or whatever it is. every little choice will contribute to this, and that's why I think it's important to talk to our guest today.
Yeah,
because he's someone whose life has been volunteering and who's gotten a lot out of it in terms of, I hear you saying a lot out of it in terms of your personal development and feelings.
Yeah. No, for me, I mean, listen, every year on graduation, you know, so in my district, I have 7 high schools, okay, 14,000 kids, high schools. And every year on graduation, you know, that's my one Super Bowl. That's my Super Bowl of the year. You know, we get to award these kids diplomas. I shake those sweaty palms and hand them their diplomas. And I look into their bright, you know, faces and eyes, and they're getting ready to go out into the world. And that's my thank you. You know, that's my payoff. You know, to be in those moments and just to see these kids, just be so proud of their accomplishments and as they go off into the next stage in their life. That's my payoff. You know, as I mentioned, school board members are elected officials that don't receive any salary. Every once in a while, they might provide a cookie during our board meetings or something. But you know, we're there because we truly care about the kids. And there are some folks who are there, you know, who care more about the politics, but there's a great majority of us who do care about the students and ensuring, as you said, that they live productive, useful lives, right? And whatever they choose, we just want them to be useful and be happy at the end of the day. We want them to be happy. We want our students to be happy when they leave us. And so, you know, that's what we get out of it.
You have a kind of global perspective. So you're not, if you don't get one of your issues authorized, say, you don't stop off angrily and have nothing more to do with with school
board
education.
You just go on to the next issue.
Yeah, you go on to the next issue. What you need is, particularly, is people who are not one or two issue people, but who are interested globally and completely in the kids' education. That's kind of idealistic to say, but that's underneath, you need people sort of like you.
Yeah. We need more people like you.
Yeah, we need more people like you, which is probably too complimentary to our guest.
But I said we've done lots of us in more of parts of rural Arizona that are, where the average age is, older and retired areas, that we, need to talk to people like you who've got young children and who are, thinking about making the world a better place for the children that are right there in their house today. And you sometimes, forget that there's a lot of young people in Arizona who are still raising kids who are out there full time doing something to make the world a better place.
We're out there full time doing something. I always say, folks, the greatest, I don't have time. I just don't have time. Well, you know what? We make time for the things that we care about. No one has time. We make time for the things we care about. And so I ask you, what do you care about? Do you care about your neighbors? Do you care about your community? Okay, I don't have kids. Why should I care? Well, do you care about public safety? Do you care about your home values? Do you care about having a healthy neighborhood? All this matters, whether you have kids or not. Everyone should be invested in the future of this community and the state, and really our nation. I think everyone wants to leave this place better than we found it, or would like to believe everyone wants to leave this place better than we found it. And that starts with giving back, just giving a little bit, whatever, in whatever capacity that is.
Yeah, and I know, Devin, you said you've got to be at a meeting shortly, so we probably should just wrap this up. And thank you so much for being on here, and we may have you back at some point, maybe in the next year, just talking about some more specific programs, specific things that are going on as we with the legislature, with education policy, with things like that.
I think it's important just to get out, Karen, because I know how much you're involved, just to get out what folks are doing, what the education associations are doing in Arizona, what the associations of superintendents, the associations of school boards, what
teachers' associations, everyone.
I think if people see that, I think they'll be inspired to be more helpful than just sitting on their hands
and complaining,
which is our and complaining about it. And the way people complain is really disturbing today. It gets to you talked earlier about demonizing your enemies.
Yeah.
If you have a conflict with someone, the first thing you to do is you have
call them names.
Call them names, but you also think they have really evil motives if they're doing something that's really contrary. But that's not necessarily true. And I think that that's good, a good thing that you pointed out. Yeah. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much, Devin. Yeah.
Well, appreciate you both for giving a platform for us to have these conversations.
Yeah.
So thank you for having me on, and I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Devin. Yeah.
Thank you, Devin. Yeah. We appreciate you being on.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. We got Karen.
Yeah. Then we've got a couple things the usual things coming up. The Democrats of the Red Rocks next event, and I think that's the third Friday of the month. I got to get the wrong month. Back on the 21st, they've got speakers talking about election integrity, you know, which, of course, has been an issue on the realities of what our elections are really like, and talking about election integrity. We've also then, to keep track, the Democrats of the Verde Valley are taking July off. They don't have a July meeting, as a summer meeting.
But DOOR's going on.
DOOR has one in person. Yavapai County Party, since they still have their Zoom meeting. There's also, if people want to sort of reach out and go a bit farther afield, the Save Our Schools organization and Indivisible have been running these rural forums around the state, sort of focused to some degree on education, what's going on in school boards. Also, like we've talked about, the importance of running for local office. Running for those little local offices, finding out about them, things, and they've talked about things we don't think about. Some places have water boards. In parts of the state, there's tribal elections. There's a whole bunch of local elections and local offices. So they've been doing things. I went to a program they did down in Florence. It was great. They've got one coming up to the end of July in Kianta. They're going to do one in Yuma, and one somewhere down in the southeast part of the state. So they're deliberately going out to rural areas that sometimes sometimes some of these statewide organizations don't spend as much time in. So there's a lot of those to look at.
It's a big state. Is it getting around in it, running for office statewide takes a real effort. But local elections are a different thing.
Yeah.
It's something that you can do. It's much more manageable. I mean, yes, you need millions of dollars if you want to run for
the Senate. But you don't. You may need. I ran for a little local office here. We spent $1,500 just to basically send everybody in the neighborhood a flyer and put one, buy a couple of banners just so people, because it's, these smaller local boards, people forget about them. So you do need to spend some money just to tell people they exist. But this is the time, since most of those elections take place in 2024, is the time to find out what are these local organizations? What are these local elected boards that matter in your community? Like I said, fire, water, school. And start to learn about them. Go to some meetings now, and then think about running in 2024 for one of these offices. They all need people to run. Too many people run unopposed because nobody else knows about them, and that's not the way democratic society should have two people or more running for office.
And so we do want to thank our people and groups that contribute to the Yavapai County Democratic Party. Has been very generous. They do a great job. They have a wonderful newsletter, which you can subscribe to. DOOR, the local organization here, I think they have a film, they have a film series.
And there is one coming up. I don't have it in front of me, but go to the Democrats of America's website and you get all those details.
That's the best information we have.
And now you can go to our website to download all our shows again, now that we're up and running again. So
that's right, vvid.org or Verde Valley Independent Democrats.org. So we have almost 12 years of shows on there, of interviews like the one today, ranging from national figures to politicians running for office.
I mean, you want to talk about July 10th? We got Robertson Work back again to talk in there.
About compassion and politics. Robertson's been Rob's work's been published all over the world. It's been translated into like Nepalese and all these different languages. So anyway, tune into the shows. We've got some interesting ones coming up. Thank you very much for being with us. All of them are vvid.org. You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZ. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.